This is Your Life, episode 38. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about the power of our own internal stories to shape how we perceive reality. In fact, these stories can covertly shape our destiny for the bad if we aren't careful, but they can also be used to shape our destiny for the good if we're intentional. Change your story, change your life. That's what I'll cover in this episode. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Platform University, an online membership site for helping you launch your personal platform or take it to the next level. You can find out more at platformuniversity.com, and I'll be telling you a little bit more about it at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned. So let's get right into this episode. Let me start with a story. When I was 29 years old, I became vice president of marketing for Thomas Nelson. It was a huge step in my career, and at the time, I thought I'd arrived at the pinnacle of success. I was the youngest vice president ever in the history of the company, at least as far as I knew. But I was in over my head, or at least that's the way I felt. I was just waiting for other people to come to the same conclusion. And I struggled constantly with anxiety and fear. Anxiety was kind of the daytime version, and fear was the nighttime version, if you know what I mean. But this manifested itself in my body in two, frankly, embarrassing ways. First, I sweat profusely. And second, my hands were always cold. I mean, ice cold. So before attending important meetings, I would wear sometimes two t-shirts, hoping that I wouldn't sweat through both. And I strategically selected my clothing based on which colors would show the least amount of perspiration. And I would also step into the bathroom right before the meeting began and frantically run hot water over my hands and then try to dry them vigorously, praying that they would warm up before I had to meet somebody and shake hands with them. And I dreaded having to shake hands with anyone. And at some point, I realized that the problem was not in my body. It was in my head. And I was telling myself a bad story. And mine went something like this. You're too young for this job. Worse, you don't have any experience. Who do you think you're fooling? It's just a matter of time before everyone in the company sees it. And when that happens, you'll be out on the street right where you should have been all along. So that was the story that was going on in my mind. And I would never say it out loud, of course. It was just a soundtrack that was playing inside of my head. And things didn't change until I became aware of the story and took control of the narrative. And I started telling myself a different story. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But I think almost every problem we experience can be traced back to the stories that we tell ourselves. And there may be a good reason for these stories, but in the end, they produce bad outcomes if they're left unchecked. For example, I have a friend who's been unemployed now for a couple of years. And this is a person who's extremely smart, well-educated, articulate, attractive, but he's basically given up in his quest to find a job. And it's really been difficult to watch him sink further and further into depression. But the worst part of it is that he's begun telling himself a bad story. He's telling himself, no one wants to hire someone my age when they can hire someone younger for less money. That's the story, or a version of the story, that's going around and around in his head. And my fear is that when he goes in for an interview, people pick up on this. And guess what? They follow his lead. Have you ever met someone who is young and lethargic, someone who didn't have much energy? Well, of course you have. I have too. And conversely, have you ever met someone who was old, so to speak, yet full of energy and vitality? Yeah, we've all done that too. This has nothing to do with their actual age. It has everything to do with their state of mind. And in my friend's case, he's convinced himself by telling himself this story that he's too old to get a job. I have another friend who was abandoned by her dad. And obviously, this was horrible. I can't imagine how painful that must have been for her. But she's taken that experience, which obviously was big and significant in her life, but she's created an entire narrative around it. And it goes like this. Everyone I get close to eventually leaves me. And guess what? That's exactly what happens. Because she believes her story, she looks for the evidence to support it. And it influences how she relates to the men she dates. And over time, this story gets reinforced and she believes it's the truth. And that's just how things are. But the only problem is it's a lie. She's a wonderful, beautiful girl. And there are lots of people like Gail and I who want to be around her and enjoy her company. But she discounts that kind of evidence. Why? Because of the story she's allowing to play in the theater of her mind. The bottom line is that you don't have to be controlled by bad stories. You can take control of them. You can change your life by changing your story. And I'd like to suggest 5 ways to take control of the narrative in your head. Number one, recognize the voice in your head. You have to realize that this voice is not you. It pretends to be you. It might even sound like you. It probably, in fact, does sound like you. It talks to you in your own voice, but it's not. Maybe it's coming from your parents. Maybe it's coming from a teacher or an abusive spouse. It doesn't matter. Just recognize that it's happening. All you're trying to do in this stage is become aware that there's a narrator and he's telling you how things are, or at least how he perceives them to be and what you need to believe about reality. So recognize the voice that's in your head. Number two, jot down what the voice is saying. This can be really helpful. It might be something like, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm not very well educated, or I'm overeducated, or I don't have enough experience, or I don't have the right experience, or I can't write, or I always quit, or I'm not creative, or I always eventually fail, or I'm not very good with money. It could be literally anything, but listen carefully and write it down word for word. And by the way, you might have some stories that are positive too, like, I'm really pretty smart, or I have a great family, or I'm a good singer, or I'm good with people, or I always follow through, or I'm responsive. Notice that this voice, again, usually speaks in the first person, just like it's you. So step number two, jot down what the voice is saying. Step number three, evaluate whether the story is empowering. Is it enabling you to accomplish the outcomes you want, or is it preventing you from doing so? Be honest. Sometimes, I'm sorry to say, people are addicted to their problems and the stories that create them. Maybe it gives them a sense of certainty. Maybe it gives them a sense of drama or significance because they're at the center, even if of a bad story. But evaluate whether the story is empowering. Step number four, and this is where it starts to get interesting. Write down a different story. I'm not talking about a bunch of positive thinking, mumbo jumbo, or affirmations, though those can be helpful and have their place. I'm really talking about telling yourself the truth. And often this is simply a matter of shifting your perspective or reframing the story. And I'll give you an example here in just a minute. But write down a different story and literally write it down. Write it down in your journal, type it out on your computer, but write down a different story that's empowering. And then step number five, start telling yourself this new story. Every time your inner narrator begins telling the old story, stop him. Say, no, that's baloney. Here's the truth. Then repeat your new story. And it may feel awkward at first, like putting on a coat that's too big. But if you keep telling yourself the truth, it will eventually fit and you'll get more comfortable with it. So back to my original story when I was 29 years old and feeling like I was in over my head. Once I realized that I was telling myself a bad story, I crafted a new one. And here's how the new version went. Yes, you're young. This gives you tremendous energy. You also don't have a lot of experience, which is why it's easier for you to think outside the box. God has provided everything you need to be successful in this situation. Even if you fail, you will learn something from it. You can't lose, you can only quit, and you most certainly are not a quitter. That story, that simple narrative, that reframing of the original situation, that changed everything for me. And it didn't happen overnight, but more quickly than I expected. And the physical symptoms gradually disappeared as I focused on the story rather than the behavior. And now, instead of focusing on the behavior I want to change, when I want to change a behavior, I focus on the story I'm telling myself. So again, in summary, here are five ways you can take control of the narrative in your head. Maybe you think of these as steps or ways, whatever. But step number one, recognize the voice in your head. Recognize that there is a narrator that lives inside your head. It often sounds like you, but it's not you. But recognize the voice in your head. Step number two, jot down what that voice is saying. You're not going to let him get away without being challenged. So jot down what the voice is saying. Step number three, evaluate whether the story is empowering. Is this helping you get to where you want to go? Or is it hindering you from getting where you want to go? Step number four, write down a different story. Literally craft this. This is your life. You're not just writing a story to tell to somebody else, but this is your story, the one that's shaping your actions and having control over the outcomes that you're experiencing. So write down a different story. And then number five, start telling yourself this new story intentionally. And it may feel awkward at first, but the more you do it, the more you'll own it, step into it, and it will become your story and your reality. So with that, let's get to some listener questions. And the first one comes from Jana.
This is Jana Botkin from Three Rivers, California. I blog at janabotkin.net. Sometimes I wonder if I'm just telling myself a story of delusional optimism to drown out the harshness of reality based on facts and experience. Do you have any wisdom on how to recognize which storyline is the truth? Thanks, Michael.
Jenna, I don't think I've ever met anyone who was too optimistic, at least to the point of delusional. I've met lots and lots of people who are too pessimistic, and that's negatively influencing the outcome in their life. So if I were going to err, I think it would be on the side of delusional optimism if I had to. Now, I'm not saying that you should make hope a strategy, you know, kind of put yourself in a place of denial. I'm not recommending that. You've got to deal, as I've said in previous episodes, with the most brutal aspects of your current reality. You've got to acknowledge those and be willing to deal with them. But there's every reason to be optimistic. And I think to focus on those things in many ways leads to a positive outcome. So I would let yourself go there and not worry too much about it. Let yourself be delusionally optimistic if necessary. And I think it's going to be a lot closer to the truth for most of us than the kind of pessimism that we so easily slip into that negatively affects the outcomes. The next question comes from Julie.
Hi, my name is Julie Sunny, and my blog is juliesunny.com. My narrator often takes me in a million directions. Can you offer some pointers for focusing our inner stories?
Julie, I think that's a common experience. I certainly have it, where my mind is racing and I've got 1,001 thoughts. This is one of the reasons why I try to start every single day with being quiet and still. I'm not planning my day. I'm not praying. I'm not thinking about yesterday. I'm not thinking about my task list for today. But I literally sit down and get quiet first thing in the morning for 15 minutes. I listen to a musical track of The Ocean, and it's timed. I actually edited the file myself, but it lasts exactly 15 minutes and then it fades out. But during this time, it enables me to let all those thoughts kind of settle like sediment in a jar of muddy water. And so I let that settle and try not to think about anything else. And it's become a great discipline for me to get control of my thought life. And I find myself drawing upon that experience throughout the day when I feel overwhelmed by a lot of different thoughts and being pulled in a million different directions. That helps me. Another thing that helps me is having a task list where I know what's the most important, the next most important thing. And I simply work through that list. I arrange it in the order of importance in the morning before I begin my work, and then I systematically work through it. And obviously there are interruptions, things that I didn't count on or things that I couldn't have anticipated that interrupt my day, and that's okay too. I just deal with those as they happen. But I try to deal with the next most important thing and try to stay focused in that way. So hopefully those two things will help you. The next question comes from Mary.
Hi, this is Mary DeMuth of MaryDeMuth.com. And my question is, when you are living your story and you continue to do the same thing over and over again and getting the same crummy result, how do you encourage yourself to think differently and no longer do that thing that's not working? Thanks so much and have a great day.
Mary, one of the things I appreciate about you is just your honesty. And you and I are friends, and this is something that I really have grown to appreciate about you. So thank you for that. I think the reason that we get into this situation where we are doing the same things over and over again and we're getting the same crummy result is because we're kind of living our life unconsciously. We're not aware of this narration that's going on in our head, and we're being programmed by it. We're just not aware of it. So I think the first step is just awareness, to realize there's this story that's going on in my brain, as I said earlier, and it's affecting my behavior and it's affecting the outcomes that I'm experiencing. So let me chase this thing back to its source and change the story. And you're a storyteller. And so this is something that you really should, and I'll bet really do excel at. You just have got to write yourself a story for this particular behavior that you're doing over and over again and change it. Change it at the story level and see if it begins to affect your behavior. And I'd love to hear a report back from you and see if you were able to do that. The next question comes from Noah.
Hi, this is Noah Coley from Terre Haute, Indiana. I enable others to live lives at full potential through writing at theaddictionblog.com. One of the challenges I face as an addictions counselor is helping others realize that they are the authors of their own narrative. Because of their situation, they lose their sense of ownership, and therefore that life just happened to them. What's your best advice regarding helping others become proactive in their story rather than reactive?
No, I think one of the best things that you can do in this situation is simply make your clients, the people you're counseling, aware of the fact that there's another possibility, that there is, in fact, this narration that's going on inside their head, and they don't have to be the victim of a bad story or the framing of a bad story. You know, I think the distinction that helped me was to realize that there are things that happen to us in life, and then there's the meaning that we assign to those things. And oftentimes the meaning is wrong, or at least it's not empowering. And so to ask, okay, let's look at what happened, and then let's look at the range of possible interpretations or the meanings that we could put on that. And just to ask them the question, is there another meaning, or is there another way that you could frame this or look at this? And oftentimes they've gotten into such a habit of only framing it in a negative way or a way that's construed totally against them and is the least empowering, that just asking that question and pushing them to ask whether there's a different interpretation or a different meaning will open up the possibilities to them. So that's where I would start, is just keep asking. Help them see that there's a variety of ways that they can interpret this. There's not just one way. The interpretation of the event is rarely the truth, and there's often a better way to interpret it or understand the meaning. The next question comes from Russ.
Hi, Michael. Russ Hess in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I blog at russhess.com. Compliments on your book platform. You mentioned changing your story is a way to change your life. For me, this really means to find the meaning you associate to your life and reassign those meanings to a better perception of the same outcome. Perhaps it is more like reflecting on a moment of your life and then using a different outline than the one you've written. In this, is there a practical way for us to refocus meaning we associate with our life to lead us to a greater sense of fulfillment? Thanks, Michael. I look forward to your answer.
Russ, you beautifully stated what I've been trying to get across in this podcast episode. And that is that there is a better way for us to understand the events that happen in our life by taking control of that narrative. And for me, at least, it helps to write it down and to realize that there are, again, a range of things that we could, a range of meanings that we could assign to those experiences. And we have the privilege of writing that narrative. You know, the future is a blank slate. It hasn't happened yet. It doesn't have to be determined by what's happened to us. And we've all heard the stories of incalculable suffering and grief and things that people have gone through in their lives and yet have had a very satisfying, a very positive impact on the world because they chose to make it so. They chose to interpret those experiences in a way that empowered them and was used by them to positively impact themselves and the world. So I don't really have anything to offer other than I think just writing it down and becoming aware of the range of possibilities and understanding that we are in control of the meaning that we assign to these various experiences that we have. The next question comes from Rob.
Rob Ketterling, Minneapolis, Minnesota, robketterling.com, Rob Ketterling on Twitter. I wrote Change Before You Have To. And my question is, why do you think we work so hard to avoid change rather than make the change?
Rob, I think this goes back to what I said earlier, and that is that sometimes people get addicted to their problems and to not changing because even though their situation may be miserable and causing them grief and hurting their relationships and all the rest, it may be giving them a sense of certainty or a sense of significance, that they are at the center of this drama and they don't really know any other way to get attention. But I think that in the end, that's not a great way to live. And there is a different choice that we could make. And I think we have to encourage people that there are different ways to find certainty. There are different ways to find significance. And growth is an essential human need and something that we have to pursue and help people understand that if they are growing and if they are progressing, they're going to be more satisfied than if they stay stuck just for the sake of certainty and just for the sake of significance. There's a better way. There's more to life than just that. The next question comes from Bobby.
Hi, Michael. This is Bobby Warren calling from Worcester, Ohio, near Cleveland. My blog is thezsection.com. Hey, what I was wondering is how important is faith in all of this? And thanks for all you do to help people like me.
Bobby, for me, faith is all important. You know, my worldview begins really with the idea that there is a God and a God who loves me and a God who is at work, working all things together for good to me and to all those who love him and are called according to his purpose, as Romans 8:28 says. So for me, faith is everything. It informs my worldview. It informs the fact that I believe that the things that happen to me are for good and I need to interpret them in that way and assign meaning to them in that way and not see them as something negative. Ultimately, I don't have to believe that kind of stuff. I don't have to believe that these things are out to destroy me. I certainly don't believe that God is out to destroy me. I believe that God is for me, and I believe that God is for you, and God is for everyone. We just need to have our understanding informed by that, informed by our faith, and I think it will really have an impact on how we live out our lives and the outcomes that we experience. So thanks for that. So let me just end this segment of the podcast with this question. What story do you want to change? And if you did, how might this change your behavior and the outcomes that you're currently experiencing? Well, to comment on this episode, go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/038, as in episode 38. I'd love to hear from you. And now just a quick few announcements. First, we just opened the membership to Platform University. We didn't get it off the ground quite as quickly as we had hoped, but it's now live and it's available at platformuniversity.com. This is a project I and my team have been working on for months. But my book, Platform Get Noticed in a Noisy World, only scratched the surface. Platform University picks up where that left off and provides an opportunity to dive deeper, bringing you the insights and the tools you need to develop a platform that gets you, your brand, or your cause noticed. And the early bird special ends this week. So if you want to get it on the lowest possible price for life, visit platformuniversity.com to learn more. I think you'll find that it's very, very affordable and a great value. Second announcement, we still have a few tickets left for the Platform Conference, which will be held here in Nashville on February the 11th through the 13th, 2013, just a couple of weeks away. But the conference is for anyone who wants to jumpstart their platform or take it to the next level. So if you're an author, a public speaker, a blogger, a recording artist, a business owner, an entrepreneur, a salesperson, a mortgage broker, a pastor, a corporate brand manager, this conference is for you. And we've got an incredible lineup of speakers, including Ken Davis, Pat Flynn, Jeff Goins, Stu McLaren, Cliff Ravenscraft, John Saddington, Kerry Wilkerson, Andrew Buckman, Michelle Cachette, and me. And you can get all the details at platformconference.tv. There's a link in the show notes. And third, my podcast for next time is going to be on the topic of 7 benefits of keeping a journal, along with my tips for doing it. This has been one of the best things that I've ever done. I'm new to journal keeping. I just started last summer, but it's been tremendous. And I'm going to include some software recommendations in this episode. But if you've got a question about this topic, please leave me a voicemail message at michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. This is a terrific way to cross-promote your blog or website because I'll link to it just like I did with the colors in this episode. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. I'd also be grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. And if you'd like to comment on this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com. Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comment section. I'd love to hear from you, whether it's a comment, a question, or whatever. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life.